Good evening to everybody. As we begin the parashios at the end of Sefer Bereishis, Miketz, Vayigash, and Vayechi, as we prepare for Kol Yisrael, Bnei Yaakov, and hopefully the Jewish people heading down to Mitzrayim, we begin to deal with Bnei Yisrael and the Golos. Till now, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov were Yidden Jews living in Canaan, and Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov fundamentally is the first of the Avos who leaves Eretz Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu appears to him, the parashah tells him that time for you to go. You have to meet your son. Yosef is already in Mitzrayim. And here's where the Torah starts speaking about the Jew in the Golos, the Jew in the Diaspora. As you're all aware, the Medrash, and the Medrash points it out in different ways, says that B'schus Dalet Dvarim Nigalim Yisrael B'Mitzrayim, as a result of four things were the Jewish people redeemed from Egypt. The three that the Medrash mentions, and then there are four and five, depending on the Medrash that you look at, we didn't change our language. We spoke the way we spoke in Eretz Yisrael in the time. We didn't change our clothing. The clothes of a Jew were the same clothes in Israel as they were in Egypt. And ultimately, we kept our Jewish names as well. We didn't take on Egyptian names. Some Midrashim quote, we did not reveal any secrets of ourselves. We kept confidentiality. And finally, we didn't subjugate ourselves to becoming immoral and being involved in illicit relationships. So Klal Yisrael have a challenge when we're in the Galus and the Diaspora, and that is acting like we're supposed to act, acting like the Jewish people, being an Or LaGoyim. And of course, as we enter these parashas, and even more so in the beginning of Parashas Shmos, the focus is on the relationship between the Jew and the Diaspora, Yosef's two sons born to him in Mitzrayim, Menashe and Ephraim, of course, are sons of the Galus, as opposed to the Yud Beishvatim who were born in Eretz Yisrael, and the focus now is in terms of heading out of Canaan and leaving Eretz Yisrael, where for the lion's share of our history, that's where we have been. While each of the four or five things that the Medrash mentioned, that we didn't change our name, we didn't change our clothing, we didn't change our language, in Halacha we find that part of the major focus of the relationship between the Jew and the non-Jew, or the way to separate ourselves from the non-Jews is in relationship to eating. We're all familiar with the two basic halachas of bishul akum and pat akum, the prohibition to eat food cooked by a non-Jew, the prohibition to eat bread baked by a non-Jew. Of course, issur stam yenam, wine that is non-kosher wine, fundamentally because we can't say that it's yayin nezach, that it hasn't been used for libation purposes, for avodah zarah purposes. That's called stam yenam, and until there's a cheskas kashrus on the yayin, that is something that's prohibited to drink. So bishul akum, pas akum, and stam yenam speak to that separation and creating a vacuum and a gap between the Jew and the non-Jew. We're not going to speak this evening about any of those, about bishul akum, pas akum, or stam yenam. Today I'd like to focus on actually eating kosher food with non-Jews. And part of that which we in the Gauls deal with is we're not concerned about eating not kosher necessarily, but more often than not, we find ourselves in situations like we'll talk about tonight, holiday parties, get-togethers, non-kosher restaurants, and all of those are issues which we bump into. It's in the workplace, most predominantly colleagues, neighbors, and the like. How do we handle that? How do we deal with being in a situation where we will eat our own food? We'll eat kosher food. Is that okay or is that not okay? You're invited to a non-Jewish wedding, a non-Jewish party, a holiday party, an office party, and all of those types of situations, where does that fall under the categories that we've discussed? It's not bishul akum, it's not pas akum, it's not stam yenam, because I'm not eating their food, I'm eating my food. Is there any issue with being at a holiday party, at a business party, a non-kosher restaurant, at a non-Jewish wedding? How do we deal with those situations? The contemporary Chuva Sefer, the Mishnah Halachos, Umvar Rav, Zichron L'Rach, Rav Menashe Klein, in Chelik Zayin Simen Kuf Yud Ches deals with this, and he actually refers to a pasuk in this week's parasha, Parashat Miketz, where Yosef, when he is about to reveal himself to his brothers, places and puts all of his siblings, who do not yet know that they are dealing with their brother Yosef, into a room and to eat. And Yosef warns and tells the Mitzrim, Kilo Yochu Mitzrayim Esa Ivrim Lechem. The non-Jews, the Mitzrim, the Egyptians, are not going to eat with the Jews. And Yosef eats separately, the Mitzrim eats separately, and the Bnei Yisrael eats separately. this simple reading of the pasuk is to the reason that why we're all eating separately is, as the pasuk says, that the Mitzrim were repulsed by Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people eating meat. The meat that Klal Yisrael ate, the food, and the meat specifically, was something that they used as karbanos, as avodah zarah. So how could it be that they could sit at the same exact table and eat the same food that they serve for avodah zarah? Pasuk says in Perek Mem Gimel, Pasuk Lamed Beis, Vayishimu lo levadot lahem levadot. The Egyptians placed separate food for Yosef and separate food for the brothers. Of course, they didn't want Yosef and the brothers to recognize that they were the same, so they were given different food and they were eaten separately. So too, the pasuk says, "The Mitzrayim ha'ochu nito levadam." The Mitzrayim also ate separately, did not eat the same food. Why? Ki lo yuchlun ha'mitzrim le'achol es'ayivrim lechem, ki to'eva hi le'mitzrayim. The Egyptians would not eat the same food and could not even bear to eat the same food or to serve the Jews the same food because it was loathsome to the Egyptians. That was their avodah zarah. They worshipped the set. We ate the set. So the simple reading of the pasuk is the Mitzrim didn't sit at the same table as the Israel and didn't serve them the food because they couldn't. That seems to be the simple understanding of the Targum, of the Unkelos, as well as the Targum Yonos and Menaziel. However, Menashe Klein says that the truth is Yosef was the viceroy in Egypt. He was the second in power, the second command, the highest level of power in government outside and second to Paro. So if Yosef wanted to, he could have told the Mitzrim to sit at the same exact table as his brothers, as the Jews, and at the same time, they could have indeed served the Jews. So Rav Menashe Klein suggests that, you know what, the reason that Yosef set this up, that the Mitzrim shouldn't have served Bnei Yisrael, was not because it was loathsome to them, and they were repulsed and disgusted by serving meat to Bnei Yisrael, because they indeed worshipped it, but rather because Yosef did not want his brothers, nor did he want to eat at the same table as the Mitzrim, because there's an issue of Jews and non-Jews eating, dining, sitting together, and eating together. That's his, I would say, homiletic reading of the pasuk, not the pashup shot in the pasuk. But let's try to understand where he's coming from. In his tshuva, a tshuva written regarding attending a holiday party, is the topic of this evening's discussion. So what is it, and is there an issue, and indeed, what is the issue of eating at the same table, and can we eat at the same table as non-Jews? Can a Jew go to a holiday party, to a business party, to a goodbye party, to a retirement party, and how do we handle such things? The Gemara says in Sechel Vodazan, Daf Chesem and Aleph, the bottom for the beginning of Daf Chesem and Beis, Paskin and Tur and Shulchan Aruch and Yoredeis and Kufn and Beis, that an Obed Kochavim, a non-Jew who makes a party, specifically, it seems, as the Shulchan Aruch indicates, a chuppas b'no bito, marrying off a son or a daughter, asur liyisrael lechol sham afilu ochel mishalo, v'shamish shalo omid alav mishamish. Even if the Jew brings his own waitstaff, and even if the Jew has his own food and his own drink, it's still prohibited to go to the non-Jewish wedding because, well, we don't know yet, but we're going to have to see why. The Gemara continues and the Shulchan Aruch continues. Not only is it usher to attend the party, but it's prohibited to join and be part of a suda, of that wedding party, from the time that the food or the drinks for the wedding is being prepared. Furthermore, the Gemara continues to say that even after the party, for 30 days, it's still prohibited to join in a wedding party or a connected party of the non-Jew. And that is what the Gemara says. Now, the Gemara and the psukim in this week's parasha don't indicate a reason why it's prohibited. However, the Rishonim debate this psak of the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch. Why is it that a Jew cannot attend and is prohibited to attend a chuppas b'no ubito of an akum? Why can't a Jew attend a wedding party, a wedding celebration of a non-Jew? The Rishonim debate this point, as I posited, but nonetheless, really it boils down to a machlokas between the Taz and the Shach and Simen Kuf and Beit. The Taz says the reason that it's asur is for one reason alone, and that's chasnas. We're concerned that if the Jew attends this non-Jewish wedding celebration, ultimately could lead to socializing, mingling, and ultimately intermarriage. So therefore, as a result, the Taz paskins that it's usher to go to a non-Jewish wedding for the reason that we're concerned about chasnas. That's the same reason Bishul Akum is usher, the same reason that Stam Yenim is usher, and the same reason that Pas Akum is usher. We're concerned about socializing, mingling, which could lead to intermarriage. The Shach argues, and the Nekuda Fakeshef Meshach says it has nothing to do with Kasnos. You know what it has to do with? It has to do with Avodah Zarah. We're concerned that at the non-Jewish wedding celebration, there's going to be forms of idolatry being practiced, and there the Jew is going to get engaged, involved with the non-Jewish celebration that's taking place and the people that are present, and the Jew will wind up being involved in idolatrous practices. A very fundamental machlokas between the Taz and the Shach as to why it's usher to go to a non-Jewish wedding party, even if you're bringing your own food, you're bringing your own drink, you have your own wait staff serving you and taking care of you, eating at a separate table. It doesn't make a difference. It's usher, either because according to the Taz, there's a concern of chasmas, intermarriage, because of the Shach, the concern is of Orizar. There are two very basic nafkamina, two very basic practical differences which emerge from the machlokas between the Taz and the Shach as to the reason why it's awesome. The Drisha, in his commentary on the tour in Siman Kufin Beis, raises a safek. He has the following question. Is there a heter to attend the wedding because of Eva? There is a sense of animosity, of discomfort, or even hatred that the Jew or the Jewish community might feel if the Jews don't attend the wedding celebration. You're not coming to our wedding? You know what? That's called Eva. And there's concern of animosity. It could be danger. It could be verbal. It could be antagonistic behavior that could ultimately become physical. But Eva is something that we see in halacha as a reason to be mako. And the Drisha leaves it as a tzarach. And he's not sure, can you attend the wedding celebration? If you bring your own food, you bring your own drink and your own weight staff, if there's a concern of Eva, of discomfort, of animosity. Now, according to the letter of law, it's usher. But the Drisha says maybe Eva is enough of a reason to be Makim. And the Drisha does not answer that question. He says he has a suffix. The Taz, commenting on Shulchan Aruch, quotes the opinion of the Drisha. He says, how can it be that the Drisha had a suffix, had a doubt about this? Of course it's usher. Eva, animosity, that's what we want. That's what we're looking for. We're looking to create a vacuum and a gap and a space between Jew and non-Jew. We want it to be like that. Are you saying and expecting that the Jew should attend the wedding because it's going to cause a social connection, a bond between the non-Jew and the non-Jew? That's exactly what we're dealing with here. And that's when it comes to Bishul Akum and Pas Akum and Stam Yenim, there's never a heter of Eva that it's going to cause animosity. Animosity is exactly the issue. And that's the reason that we're creating that separation. We don't want there to be a socialization between Jew and non-Jew at a dinner party or at a holiday party. Because once this food brings people together, and we don't want that to take place. So therefore, the Taz says, it's usher to attend such a party, bringing your own food, bringing your own drink, bringing your own weight staff, even in a situation of Eva. The Shach argues on the Taz, and the Nekuda Kesa says, the issue is not because of chasnas, because of intermarriage. The issue is because of Avodah Zarah. And when it comes to Avodah Zarah, there is a heter mishum Eva. We find in Shulchan Aruch that a Jew and a non-Jew are not able to engage in business. The halacha is that a Jew can't be involved in business 3 days prior to a non-Jewish holiday, a separate halacha, not for now. But nonetheless, because of Eva, because of animosity, it's permitted. So when it comes to an issue of Avodah Zarah, where we're less concerned that there's going to breed socialization and ultimately intermarriage, there is a heter of Eva. So says the Shach, the same thing should be true here. If the issue of attending a wedding party and a wedding celebration of a non-Jew is because of Avodah Zarah, there's a heter of Eva, of animosity when it comes to Avodah Zarah. Therefore, the Shach says, if you bring your own food, you bring your own drink, you bring your own waitstaff, you're absolutely permitted to go if there's a concern of animosity and discomfort between the Jew and the non-Jew. That's the first nafkamina. A second nafkamina is raised by the Tshuva Chesed Avram, Rav Avram of Zulai, and he says, let's say it's a wedding party of non-idolaters. Are you permitted to attend? So Chesed Avram says, well, according to the Taz, if the prohibition of going to this wedding party, if chasmus is intermarriage, it doesn't make a difference if it's an idolater's daughter or son getting married or a non-idolater's son or daughter getting married. It's a prohibition of intermarriage. It doesn't make a difference who's throwing the party. A non-Jew's wedding party, there's a concern of chasmus of intermarriage. Whether it is and whoever it is, you can't attend. However, according to the Shach, says the Chesed Avram, if the Isser, if the prohibition of going to the wedding party is because of Avodah Zarah, well, here the Jewish non-Jewish party is not Avodah Zarah. There's not going to be any idolatrous practice because we know that that's not what this family or this celebration of the wedding is going to do. And therefore, according to the Shach, one would be permitted to attend the wedding. Those are two practical nafkamina when it comes to attending the non-Jew's wedding party. However, if you read the Shulchan Aruch and the indication of the Gemara, it sounds like we're dealing only with attending a non-Jewish wedding party. Is this also true when it comes to other celebrations that a non-Jew has. You take a look in the Levush. Levush is also found in Yerideh, from Kufn and Beis. This base, he says, L'su'udas mishta shel simchas kegon chasunas b'no bita. It's an example. The Shulchan Aruch is giving you an example, a wedding celebration. But any other type of wedding celebration, but any other type of celebration would be included and would fall under the same category as a wedding celebration. The concern is that once there's a holiday party, a party of any nature of socialization that could cause either intermarriage or idolatrous practices, according to Levush's Usser, lav dafka, just a wedding party. But Levush is important for a second reason. He says that you can attend another type of suda, shel darkei shalom, if you have to go before peace, for relationship purposes, for the sake of creating a positive relationship between the Jew and the non-Jew, says the Levush that is permitted. A shar sudo shel darkei shalom, that means it's not a celebration. It's not a party of the likes of a wedding and that sort. But it's a suda darkei shalom. That's the point of the party, is that for peace, for camaraderie and the like, that would be permitted to attend. The Chachmas Adam, similar to Levush, but yet a little different, in the Isser V'Heter Klal Pei Zayin, Sif Yuvei, says, only a suda simcha is asa. Aval im nazmino shelo suda simcha mutter. If it's not a happy party, but something along the lines of Darkei Shalom, something that has to do with a get-together, a barbecue, some type of relationship sort of party, that would be permitted. The question is, what falls under that category, and what does not fall under that category? As I mentioned, the Mishnah Halachos, contemporary Tshuva Sefer Menashe Klein, passed away a few years ago, notes and has three or two different categories as to what is permitted and what is prohibited contemporarily. And he says that when it comes to attending a wedding party or something similar to a wedding party, we passing like the Taz, and that it's usher. You shouldn't go because the real concern is the concern of chasnas. So if there's a wedding invitation that you receive, a non-Jewish wedding invitation that you receive, according to our Menashe Klein, it's usher to attend. We passing that the isser is an isser of chasnas. Bring your own food. Bring your own drink. Bring your own waitstaff. According to the Taz, it's usher, and Mishnah Lachos posits like the opinion of the Taz. Even if there's an issue of Eva, even if there could be some sense of animosity, it's still going to be usher. Furthermore, Menashe Klein says, if you're going to a party because it's fun and it's enjoyable and you're going to have a good time, lismoach itam. Just have a good time, but for no other reason, you don't have to go. You're not forced to go. It's not a requirement of your firm or your company. That's usher, he says, as well. Just to go for the sake of going and having a good time is prohibited. What about the third category, the most complicated category, an office party, a boss's dinner, or a boss is having an important event that you have to attend? That Menashe Klein is not so excited about, but I think the commonly accepted psak, halach l'mayis of zman, is that if it's not a party for the sake of a party, but it has to do with the office, the only reason you're attending is because it has to do for the office. It's either a party that's related to camaraderie or getting together for the sake of bonding and the sake of business pride and the like. You're going for that reason. It's good for you. It's good for your job. It's good for our company morale. That's not the party that Chazal were talking about. The party that Chazal were talking about is when it has nothing to do with business, it has nothing to do with camaraderie, but it's simply fun and levity for the sake of fun and levity. That's what's us, and that's what the Gemara is referring to. But when it comes simply going to an office party, a holiday party, that has a benefit in terms of you being there because you really have to be there and you have to show up, then of course you should be there. Now, in a situation where you could get out of it, you don't have to go, nobody's going to know the difference if you're there or you're not there, then, of course, best not to attend because maybe it's not the best environment to be in. Besides for that, of course, we're only dealing with attending and bringing your own food. But in situations where there's other issues of kashrus and other issues of drinking, which we'll talk about now, one, of course, has to be careful. I mentioned the Isser of Pasakum, Isser of Bishul Akum, Isser of Stamienum, and now we've discussed the issue of eating and drinking your own food, kosher food, at a non-Jewish party. What about drinking? There's a later gezeira, not found in the Mishnah, but the Gemara in Maseches Avodah Zarah, and it's quoted in Tur and Shulchan Aruch and Siman Kuf Yudalet, that says that it's usher to drink sheichar shel akel. It's prohibited, it's usher to drink intoxicating beverages, alcoholic beverages made by an Akum, made by a non-Jew. Now here, Chazal were not as stringent, as opposed to Bishul Akum and Pas Akum. Even if a non-Jew baked something or cooked something and you bring it home to your house, it's prohibited. In this case, and in this scenario, Chazal only asked us to let a Shulchan Aruch pass in Simukuf Yudalas, if Aleph, it's only also if you're drinking with them at their pit place of establishment, at their pub, at their party, where they are the owners, where they are the boss. It's kavua. It's what's called kri'i. They are creating the sense of absolute authority of that party. Going and joining that event and drinking with non-Jews in that situation is also. That's the gzera of sheikhar, of drinking intoxicating beverages with an akum. That's the opinion of the Mechaber. The Ramah and Shulchan Aruch and Yoredeah and Simen Kuf Yud Dalet is more mekel. That's the opinion quoted by Ashkenazic Rishonim, that intoxicating beverages, beer, alcohol made by a akum, which we refer to as shachum, are actually permitted to be drunk in the circumstance where it's necessary or where it's need be. However, the Gruach, the Chachmas Adam, the Pri Chadash, all posit and opine that although the Ramah is naked, the appropriate thing to do is to be machmer. And to drink wine, of course, is also that stam yenam, but to drink intoxicating beverages, alcoholic beverages, with non-Jews in their establishment is absolutely also. To pick up and to purchase and to buy beer that's kosher, or to buy wine and alcoholic beverages made by an non-Jew that you bring home to your house and you're drinking with your colleagues and comrades and friends and Jews only, that's okay. But to sit in their homes and in their places and in their establishments and to drink with them, that's the gzera of Sheikha, which is also and similar to Pasakum, Bishalakum, Stam Yenam, and the issa to mingle and to dine with non-Jews. Chastos is the reason, intermarriage is the reason for it, and so to hear, intermarriage is the same reason to prohibit it. So that's true when it comes to all of those types of drinks. Interestingly enough, some achronim raise even the potential possibility of coffee houses, drinking coffee with non-Jews. Well, Chazal certainly never answered that. They were only dealing with intoxicating beverages. However, the Chachmas Adam, Pri Chadash, are concerned that if the issue is chasnas, then we might have to be concerned also when it comes to drinking coffee as well. The Chachmas Adam writes in Klal Samach Lav Sifidale Ba'avonoseinu Harabim, Bizman Hazeh Kamal Kilkulin Boim, many prohibitions occur. When you drink Tava V'Shokolada, even though the Pri Chadash is Mekel, I'm concerned, says the Chachmas Adam. And he writes, Isser Gomer, the Chachma Sadam speaks in very strong terms and said to enter a coffee house, Starbucks, or the like, to sit with non-Jews and to drink their coffee is prohibited. That's the opinion of the Chachma Sadam. I don't believe that that's the most prevalent opinion. I believe the most prevalent opinion is the opinion of the Pri Chadash, which is commonly followed in practice today, that because the Shulchan Aruch never asks coffee houses, because the Ramah is makel, even when it comes to Sheikhar, even though the Gra, the Pri Chadash, and the Chachmas Adam themselves are machmir when it comes to Sheikhar, and that is the commonly accepted Psak Halach of Ashkenaz, not to sit and drink with non-Jews. There's a Gzera of an Isra of Chasnas. However, when it comes to coffee houses, there are those who are makel, and therefore one can be makel. But certainly we should recognize that the severity of involvement with non-Jews when it comes to food and drink indeed does lead to cases and situations of intermarriage. And although sometimes this does seem far-fetched, unfortunately the rate of intermarriage is rising daily, and we are all familiar with too many situations that have occurred and that have come up. When you get too friendly, the likelihood and the situations and the cases of intermarriage that have occurred as a result of socialization in the realm of bishul, of pas, of achila, of shtia, creates the bond that Chazal were looking to separate. And as Bnei Yisrael Mitzrayim were cautious and careful not to change the lashonam, albushim, and shmam, kol shekin to kol shekin. Certainly we, in our situation where we're so lucky to have such a good situation here in the United States of America, nonetheless, we have to be cautious and careful not to engage in that which Chazal say is asur. Pas akum is asur, bishul akum is asur, stam yenam is asur. Going and attending a non-Jewish wedding, even with your own food and your own drink and the like, is still, according to the Tanakh, is prohibited even in the situation of Eva. There could be the exceptions, and there could be that there are times where Omeko. It's true when it comes to an office party, when it comes to a retirement party, when it comes to a holiday party and the like. There's Makom Lahakel, and we're not looking to be stringent and difficult and severe. Those are situations where it's mutter, because those aren't the parties that Chazal was talking about. But nonetheless, at the end of the day, we do have to realize that Chazal b'chachmasa m'burach kacham recognize that there is an element of creating a bonding relationship and experience when food is the binding factor between Jew and non-Jew. So if we keep halach and we keep Chazal, we're certain where HaKadosh Baruch will protect us, protect our families, and protect our children, make sure that we continue in the ways of Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and of course, Yosef in Mitzrayim, and Asher and Ephraim in Mitzrayim, and steering away and staying clear of those types of things that we should not be engaged in, while at the same time recognizing what is mutter and what is not mutter. Of course, it goes without saying that if you have a particular situation, there are cases that you're dealing with, it should be discussed with your Rav, because there are, at times, exceptions to the rule. Eva does play a role. Of course, Parnassah plays a crucial role. Shalom Bayis plays a crucial role, and those are things to be mindful of as well. We should have a wonderful evening. Bye-bye.